Please be seated. I want to begin by saying how glad I am to be here today. I've never been to Mississippi before, so this is a great adventure for me. I grew up just a little north of here. In fact, if you drive about 1,500 miles north, cross the Canadian border, and about 100 miles or so after that, turn left and go for another 300 miles, you'll end up in my backyard. So not too far from here. Before I joined the monastic community where I now live, I was a parish priest for a number of years in a small parish on a little island off the west coast of British Columbia. It was a wonderful place to live, right on the ocean, with snow-capped mountains in the distance. In many ways, it was idyllic. And one of the churches in the parish was a picture-perfect gem. And for the standards of that particular part of the world, being 100 years old, it was considered both ancient and quaint. Indeed, for that part of British Columbia, it was probably one of the few buildings that were over 100 years old. Because of where it was, because of its age, because of its beauty, people loved to be married at St. Mark's. It was one of those places that, no matter the day, no matter the season, no matter the time, no matter if you were inside or outside, you couldn't take a bad photograph. So bridal parties, wedding photographers, families, and friends loved to come to St. Mark's for weddings and for photographs. Now, as a monk, I'm not involved in many weddings anymore. In fact, in the last 30 years, I think I can count on one hand the numbers of weddings I've attended, and on one finger, the number of weddings I've been involved in as a priest. But one of the things that I do remember from my days at St. Mark's is that people love weddings. They love weddings for all sorts of reasons. It's an occasion of great joy and happiness. It's a day to celebrate. It's a day to connect and reconnect with family and friends. And it's a day to dress up. It's a day to dress up not only for the bridal party, but for their friends, their families, and their guests as well. And so even I, as the parish priest, would get into the spirit of things, and I'd dress up as well, making sure that my cassock and surplice were clean, my shoes polished, my hair, and I did have hair in those days, brushed, and I would be certain to wear my best cope. One of the other things that I remember about weddings was the children. I always delighted in watching any children who attended a wedding as they proudly wore their bow ties or their party dresses. They loved to show off their dressed-up clothes. Clearly, the children loved to get dressed up for a wedding just as much, or perhaps even more, than the adults did. It would seem that life has not changed much in 2,000 years. It doesn't matter if you live in 2017, in 1987, or in the first century. It doesn't matter if you live in Palestine or British Columbia, or I would guess, for that matter, here in Jackson. Weddings are big deals, and the clothes you wear to a wedding are important. Whether you're one of the people being married, one of the guests, or even just the priest. It would seem that if you go to a wedding, you get dressed up. It's simply the way things are done. So what went wrong at this wedding? What went wrong? Because clearly, something went seriously wrong. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without wearing a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." Something clearly went wrong on all sorts of levels at this wedding. Those originally invited didn't bother showing up, and one of the guests who did show up didn't come appropriately dressed. Now, it's easy for us to sit back, as we're doing today, and think to ourselves, "Well, this story isn't about me. I would never do that." Yet, all of Jesus' parables, including this one, should make us all feel just a tiny bit uncomfortable. We should all be squirming today, even if just a little. And if you're not squirming, you haven't really paid attention. Last week, you might remember that the gospel ended with these words. When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them, and they wanted to arrest him. Today's gospel doesn't end that way, but it could, and perhaps it should, because the audience that this parable is intended for weren't simply those gathered around Jesus when he first told the parable. The audience that this parable is intended for is for those of us who are gathered here today in this cathedral, listening to Jesus tell the story once again. You don't need to imagine yourself as one of the crowd listening to this parable being told 2,000 years ago. You are one of the crowd hearing for yourself the parable being told today. And it should make you squirm, if only just a tiny bit. Like many of Jesus' parables, this parable is a parable of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. The kingdom of God is like a pearl of great price. The kingdom of God is like someone scattering seed. The kingdom of God is like mustard seed. The kingdom of God is like yeast. And today, the kingdom of God may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. So today, the story is not so much a story about a wedding as it is about the kingdom of God. The host in the story is not a neighbor or a relative or a friend or even a king. The host is God. The guest is not just anyone. The guest is somebody. The guest is you. And the wedding is not in a year or a month or a week. The wedding is today. And the question for all of us is not, will you come, but have you come? Not, will you be properly dressed, but are you properly dressed? So how does one accept an invitation to a wedding in the kingdom of God? How does one dress for such a wedding? I think we have a clue in our second lesson. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The letter to the Philippians that we heard this morning suggests that the proper attire for a wedding in the kingdom of God is not what we wear on our bodies, but what we wear in our hearts and in our lives. For the proper attire for a wedding in the kingdom of God is a life of gentleness, of prayer, of thanksgiving, of truth, of honor, of justice, and of purity. These are what God demands we wear to a wedding in the kingdom of heaven. These are what God expects us to wear. These are what our wedding garments should be made of. There are those in the parable who have been invited, but are too busy or too preoccupied to attend. Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, maltreated them, and killed them. There were others who attended the wedding banquet, but were not prepared. When the king came in to see the guests, he noticed that a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. the wedding invitations have been sent. Indeed, they've already been delivered. One of them appeared in your mailbox just the other day. You are on the guest list, and the wedding is today. Like most people these days, I'm sure that you are busy. But will you come? Will you come to this wedding? Will you come to this wedding that is the kingdom of God? And if you do come, if you do accept the invitation, if you do show up, if you do make the effort to attend, will you be wearing what you are expected to wear? Along with your dress or your suit, your hat or your tie, will you be wearing a wedding robe of gentleness, of prayer, of thanksgiving, of truth, of honor, of justice, of purity? That's what the king will expect you to wear when you show up at the wedding banquet of his son. It would be unfortunate if you, like that unprepared guest, were thrown out because your hearts weren't properly clothed. The wedding is today. Indeed, it's now. Indeed, it's this very moment. Are you wearing the right clothes?